Sir, this is Maserati West, Wes Barkley, and you're listening to the best wrestling podcast out there, Wrestling Cheers, where everybody knows your name.
Making your way in the world today takes everything you got. Taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away? Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name. That troubles are all the same. You wanna go where everybody knows your name. You wanna go where you can see that troubles are all the same. You wanna go where everybody knows your name.
And welcome back to Wrestling Cheers, where everybody knows your name, especially when everybody is chanting it through the whole goddamn show. And this is Wrestling Cheers, where we like to go over things in the Northeast Ohio independent wrestling scene. We preview shows, we review shows, and sometimes we even have interviews along the way. I am your host. I am Heavy Set, and this is an interview episode where we'll be interviewing none other than Wes Barkley. Before we get into all of that kind of stuff, we have a little bit of housekeeping to get through. Please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and Podbean. WrestlingCheers.podbean.com. We are on all types of social media, such as Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Facebook.com/WrestlingCheers, Twitter.com/WrestlingCheers, and Instagram.com/WrestlingCheers. Email, if you so choose desire, WrestlingCheers@gmail.com. We got the merch store over at WhatAManeuver.net. And we're doing this a little bit differently for an interview episode. Instead of having a lengthy intro and an outro that I do with the interview in the middle, I'm actually in my home studio. And sitting across from me is the man known as Wes Barkley. Wes, how's it going tonight?
I'm pretty good. I appreciate you inviting me in the studio, and I'm glad we can get after it on this podcast. You know, it's been a little something in the making here for a bit, right?
Are you excited for this?
I'm excited, really.
For those who don't know, it's been somewhat mentioned on the podcast, but Wes has never had Swenson's. And we're going to get into why. We'll get into the whole backstory.
Yeah.
But I think I joked around on Twitter about like you getting you on the podcast, and you're like, as long as I get some Swenson's, and I'm like, okay, like that's something different. That's something we could do.
And for sure,
we could start there. Is why have you never had Swenson's?
Okay, it's not like I purposely never had it, you know, but
for a while though.
For a while, yeah, sure. There was a little period there, and we'll get into that. So I've talked about this a little bit before. I used to work on a food truck, the Proper Pig food truck. Great guys. Check it out. If you're in the Lakewood area, check out the Proper Pig. If you see the food truck, check it out. Okay. But I used to be the food truck. I ran it for them, and we were actually the number one food truck in Cleveland, Ohio, which was pretty awesome. And so we do these gigs, and there's this one truck that would always come up, right? Most food trucks, I'll give you guys a little backstory. Most food trucks have about 3 to 4 workers at most on the trucks, you know, helping out, doing one task, you know, making the sandwich, the other guys doing the register, this, that, the other. But Swenson's would pull up, and they would have about 18 kids just running out, taking orders, flipping burgers, this, that, the other. So every food truck kind of got a little mad at them, especially when they would come into Lakewood, that, you know, this is kind of our turf. You know, we have restaurants here in Lakewood, Cleveland area, and for these guys to come out of Akron, you know, that's all I really knew them from. That's why, you know, when we were doing this interview in Akron, that's why I said Swenson's. But, yeah, so they would come up, and, you know, it was just kind of like, you guys have this thing in Akron, and now you're coming out to Cleveland doing our gigs. So, and plus, I was like, if I'm going to get Swenson's, I'm not going to do it off the food truck. You know, I'll go to the spot. I'll go to the drive-thru. Let's get it. So that's kind of why I was in that period. And, you know, now it's finally time to get a galley boy.
I think it reminds me a little bit of Quaker steak.
Okay.
Now, for me, I love wings.
Yeah.
I love wings, hands down.
And what's your favorite flavor? Let's hear it.
Quaker steak?
Top three. Let's go top three flavors.
Like, are we talking?
Anywhere. Any wing place.
Barbecue, hands down, almost everywhere is my favorite. I'm a barbecue guy.
Yeah.
Quaker steak is probably my favorite. And then after that, Asian sesame.
Okay.
At Quaker steak is good too. Yeah. And then I would say maybe honey mustard at the Happy Moose was really good. And I'm
That's intriguing. I'm a big honey mustard guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I'm not a real big fan. The only place I'm not a big fan of is BW3s.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. BW3s is sad.
I hate BW3s.
Yeah.
When people are just like, oh, it's so great. And I'm like, oh, have you not had Quaker steak? Because it's right. way better.
Yeah, BW3s is, you know, it's a little overplayed. You know, it's a little...
I think if you're in a place that doesn't have Quaker steak or maybe other certain wing joints that I'm not familiar with, I don't know.
Yeah.
But... I don't know. I've had it a handful of times. I haven't had it in like almost 3 years now. Right. And I'm just like, yeah, I'm good. Like every time I have it, it's like, maybe it won't be so bad. I'm like, nope, still bad.
Yeah.
Still horrible. But no, it reminds me of Quaker steak because when I always heard about it, like, oh, like it's so great. It's so great. And I'm like, well, I don't know. I want to go to the original location before I go to any other one. And then finally, years upon years ago, me, my ex, and I think my mom, we were like, all right, let's go out to Sharon, PA, and let's go to the original. Let's try that one out first. And the funny thing is, like, on the way there, I pass one.
Okay.
Like, I could ease if I wanted Quaker steak. I could have went to the one in Austintown, but no, I'm going all the way to Sharon, PA. But, I wanted that one first. And I think it was well worth it because to go in there and experience that one compared to maybe another one, North Canton, Valley View. Like, those ones are definitely set up as a franchise.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the original had how they built on from this building, and it feels different because it almost feels like a maze.
Okay.
Because you can tell they started with the one gas station and then built on bit by bit by bit. So it's you won't get that walking into, like, the one in Valley View or the one in North Canton or Austintown. Like,
yeah.
That's one thing I love about it.
That's pretty sweet. So that's why we got to do it. We got to go to the OG, the real deal.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing, we're not going to the original Swenson's, but we're going to the closest one because there's one.
Hey, it still works, people out there, right? It still works. Yeah. Food truck, we'll see you.
Yeah, that is definitely the big difference because a food truck, I mean, you're getting the food, but you're not getting...
King of the food trucks, Wes Barkley. That's me.
They actually have people run out and grab your order? Like,
yeah, well, they would have a line. I mean, we would do this event. It was called... Edgewater Live Thursday. Okay. They would bring in a couple people. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Billy Morris. They brought him in. that dude's a character for sure. But great dude. So we would have lines. You know, people wanted to get drinks. They wanted to eat. And there would probably be like 2,000 to 3,000 people at these events. You know, it's crazy sometimes. And they would have a line out. And we would just, you know, run and gun offense, Wes Barkley style, run and gun. But Swenson's would have the first 20 people, their orders taken, just keep doing that. And they had like a bunch of kids just flipping burgers and... You know, it was a whole operation, and it was, I mean, they definitely killed it and made money, but at the same time, you know, you had like 20 people working. I think kids were coming up on the beach from like the jet skis and boats, you know, to get their shifts, you know, like, right? Just kidding. You know what I'm saying, though?
Yeah. Like,
there's only so much room on a food truck for people out there. You know, you got the, where you're cooking the food, where you're making the food, and where you're doing the register, you know, there's not a lot of wiggle room. So when you got 20 kids, just, you know, so that's,
it's almost like a clown car.
Oh, yeah. Just like... Definitely. Yeah, so the clown car came up. The boat clown car came up. You know, these kids were getting helicopter dropped into work. I was like, all right. So it was probably an easy day, but, you know.
Yeah, that's completely nuts. But I think with Swenson's, that's our big thing for Akron.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. So that's why when, you said we'd come out to the studio here in Akron, I was like, when I think of Akron and food, I'm going to think of Swenson's.
Yeah.
So... I think that's kind of how it came to fruition, too. You know, it's kind of, you know.
Yeah.
So, I'm ready to check it out, though. I'm down.
So, is that what you're planning on getting, the Galley Boy? Or are you going to try anything else, or just the Galley Boy?
I'm going to, honestly, right now, I'm pretty hungry. Not right. Yeah, I'm all right. I got an appetite. You know, what's good? So, I'm definitely going to do a Galley Boy, but then, like, I didn't want to go in with any other expectations besides that. You know what I mean? So, it's Galley Boy, and then literally, I'll probably get one or two other things I see on the menu that are... intriguing at the time, doing it live, you know?
Okay.
So we're just going to see that menu. I'll be like, okay, let's check it. So
that's the way to do it.
For sure. Because I'm down to smash food, really, you know what I mean? I'm down to smash food.
I'm pretty hungry. I haven't eaten dinner yet.
So. Hey, there it is.
So I think even before you got here, I had to like drink a little bit of water because I'm like, I need to suppress the appetite a little bit because I'm hungry.
Sure. We're smashing.
So, man, we got you here on the podcast. Let's...
Yeah.
Do we want to get the elephant out of the room?
Do we want the gator skin boots I got on? That's an elephant in the room if I've ever seen one. Look at those things.
Wouldn't that be gators?
Oh, not yeah, true. But look at those things, man. Those are nice. All right. Let's hear it. What do you got?
Let's talk about the fans.
What fans? Barkley Nation, baby?
Barkley Nation. Barkley Nation's crazy.
They are.
I'm in the slim minority.
Let's go.
I love them.
Slim majority.
Well... You had a
Here's the deal. I just, you know, I go out there, I hear people cheering. I don't see anything else. You know what I mean?
You mentioned television. You mentioned this to me at Zero Cool.
Yeah.
Like, what was it? Like, a fan came up to you and said, like, he wanted to be against everybody and root against you. And you actually had a really good way of putting it. Like, well, then you're doing it wrong.
Sure.
Explain that for everybody, because I don't want to screw this up.
About him booing me? What was it?
You were about how if someone's booing you
because
they want to go against the majority, then that's not really true.
Right, you should cheer with them. Let's go. Join the hop on the wagon, brother.
I thought
this is the Barkley Nation, the West Express.
I
got more nicknames. Just ask.
I think you were trying to say that, like, yeah, like everybody's, like, all these people are cheering you, but if they're really expecting all these people to leave one day, then you're going to be in the majority of booing you.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Actually, the smart thing to do would be to cheer you then.
Yeah.
Because
it's
that's
like
the
if
true
you're going
minority.
Out of your way to boo when you could just enjoy the match or go in without already the negative energy. You know what I mean? If you're already going in booing, you know, it's hard to let's see. I don't know how I exactly worded it when I was talking to you, but, you know, it's just it's just whatever. You know, people go out there, they pay their money for their tickets. They should have a good time, do whatever they want, you know. But I'm going out there, you know, I'm giving it 110%.
Yeah.
And, you know, when it's me against the Duke, it's like...
That was interesting.
That was interesting, you know, because Duke, he's breaking rules. You know, he's... I don't mean to, you know, say anything. You know, he's poking people in the eye sometimes. You know, he's getting whatever, you know, Duke money gets it done by any means. And I respect it, but, you know, I play in the rules, you know, I play fair, so.
Yeah.
But if, you know, if I got to bend them once in a while, I'll do that, you know, so. But I don't know. It was definitely an interesting environment at the Winchester. Great, great show. I'm glad I can pull off the win there and look forward to going back there.
That was an interesting venue, at least from my point of view. I mean, I'm not a big fan of bar shows, just the standing.
Sure.
I just hate shows where I stand all the time. But I don't know, the not as much lighting.
Yeah.
It
more intimate though.
Yeah, a little bit more intimate. Yes. But I think the thing that
and the wall side's kind of weird. Not weird, but you just got to adapt, you know?
Yeah.
While you're in that ring. One side that's a wall. Like Duke tried to throw my head through that wall.
And, yeah.
You know, that's some hard concrete. I was definitely knocked, you know, I was seeing birds.
And that
Tweety flying around. You know what I mean?
And that was also the practice ring.
Yeah, that was the smaller guy. But the stage was elevated, so it kinda evened out, you know. But still, even when I got up to the top to hit him with that frog splash, you know, I was almost touched. I think I touched the ceiling. I said, screw it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I tapped, okay, caught airtime. You know, almost got the win there. But yeah, it was definitely a little more you know, close quarters. So.
Yeah. I think what we get from the fans' point of view, and I'm really hoping it changes, it's We get new wrestlers come in, like obviously once a year, and it seems like you always get some that their family start out hot, and yours broke the record.
All right,
like your fan base broke the record of
that's what we do here, Barkley Enterprises. That's what we do. We break records. We make major moves.
You broke the record of Bishop, and Bishop like was high, like above
that's
like
the Bishop every other year,
and now like you're even more than that, and. Like I the part of me does understand where fans come from.
Sure.
Like I don't like people coming in who aren't really fans, but I'm like, I don't know, man. They're paying money.
Right.
Like they're not total assholes.
Right.
There have been some issues, but I feel like through time that's weeded itself out bit by bit.
Right.
And I don't know the exact numbers, but it doesn't seem
neither
like it's
dying.
What I'm saying, like it doesn't seem like it's dying down.
No, they're just like, keeping it rolling, and it's like it's. I'm trying to get it like some wildfire, you know, and keep it spreading. But one guy will tell another guy and that guy will show up. But even, you know, regular fans, let's say, they're starting to get on the Barkley Brigade, Barkley Nation,
Barkley
you know,
Brigade.
Whatever it is now. Ooh. It's a crossover, right? Yeah. So, I mean, it's just if people are getting behind it, that's all I, you know. But also to kind of answer that question a little more in depth, and people ask me, like, you know, they come to me about the crowd. When it's a show day, I'm in tunnel vision. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
I got to be focused on my opponent. I got to be thinking about all the training I did to get there. And I can't really be worrying about if this guy yelled too loud or this guy said something. You know, I got to focus on getting that win and putting food on the table for Wes.
Yeah.
You know, because I got that expensive taste, brother. I'm talking surf and turf for dinner. and steak and eggs for breakfast, brother. You don't even want to know what I had for lunch today.
So you got the downgrade for the galley boy.
We're going to say it's even because it's going to be, you know what I mean? This is an experience. It's not just a meal. So,
yeah. The thing that I've told you, like, face-to-face, yeah. Like, this is just where I came from.
Sure.
You were a voice that we always heard on the podcast, on the AAW podcast. Okay. And I see you around at shows. I mean, that's something that kind of happens when you're a trainee. Like, you'll see people, but you might not know their name.
Right, exactly. Like, putting face to, yeah.
I didn't know who TKD was for a while, but I knew his face.
Sure, you saw him around, yep.
And then I think he called me out on Twitter when we didn't know his name. He's like, yeah, this is me.
Oh,
this
wow.
is before he officially okay. debuted, but he's like, yep, this is me. I was like, all right, cool. Like, we got a name for that. But
yeah, TKD, baby.
He, where was I going with that? It was...
You heard about me on the podcast.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
Yeah, no doubt.
You know, we heard your name on everything on the podcast. There was always this, like... You have a amount of charisma that okay. I don't think is normal for students. Like
appreciate a good. Thank you. Like, I appreciate that.
And just hearing you before you debuted, like I was drawn in. I thought kind of everybody else was too.
Okay.
And maybe everybody was.
Yeah.
But I don't know how many people turn that off when all of a sudden, like it was your fans that we heard at the show, and it was just like, oh. Oh, shit.
Like, even, from the beginning, too.
Yeah.
I appreciate you bringing that up because that gives me a new perspective to look at it, especially how you're saying that you heard the podcast, you know, the before, you saw me at shows, it kind of was adding it up. Mm-hmm. But that day of the show, you know, the vision of me started to get a little clouded by the fans match one, match two.
Yeah.
So that makes sense.
So, but, well, like, once... Like, I know, because I definitely was, like, against your fans for a while.
Sure.
Had some not really great experiences that Steve Guy had to...
Hey, that's why he's the moderator of sorts, you know? That's why he's the moderator.
He was the moderator of sorts for this. And he basically talked some sense into me. And I was like, you know what? Good point. And from that point, I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to treat them like shit because I wouldn't want them to treat me like shit. Just,
right.
Like, if they're doing something wrong, I'll go, like, someone should just go, hey, like, it's not what we do.
Sure.
Like, just
yeah.
be encouraging because if more and more people, like of your fans who aren't really wrestling fans become fans, like, let's have fun with it. Like,
yeah.
Like, I think the only...
People are having fun, man. That's all that matters. If you're getting entertained when you come out and you want to come back, appreciate the support. Let's keep it rolling.
I think the only person that I know from the Barkley Nation that you could pinpoint is your brother.
Oh, yeah. East Barkley is what we call him. That's my guy.
East Barkley.
Yeah, you got that nickname.
Yeah, like...
East!
Because I think I really noticed him at Tequila Jacks or at Music Links, whatever it was.
Yeah.
That show. And... You just had your match, and then MJF came out.
Okay.
And MJF took some time, and like I think he made a line like saying something about he fucked your mother.
Oh, that's not true, and I heard about that later. I'm not happy about it, all right?
The thing that got me like, okay, like because he does kind of look like you. Obviously, your brothers, but I'm referring to your brother, not MJF.
Yeah.
So when he made that comment, your brother would like, he got
he was
pissed,
right,
and I was
yeah.
just like, yep. That's Wes Barkley's brother. That just proved it the way.
I can see it. Yeah, for
the
sure.
Way he was going nuts.
He's fired up, man. That's the Barkley name, you know? That's how we do it.
But that's the thing that I do like that like, he's been, like, he should.
He doesn't even live in Cleveland, so.
Really? Where's he live?
He lives in Columbus now, but he was traveling before Chicago a little bit doing this, that, and the other. Yeah.
Wow.
So for him to come up, and my parents, too. So I appreciate them coming in for shows. They're bringing their friends.
Yeah.
So
Columbus is a nice place.
I'm
there every day for work, and even I would be like, you know what? I wouldn't mind moving down here. It's
for
not
sure.
too bad. There's a lot of great stuff.
Yeah. Booming city.
Mm-hmm.
And I like I'm a hockey fan. That's probably one of my favorites. Yeah, I'd probably say it's my favorite sport besides wrestling and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't follow it enough, but I feel like if I lived in Columbus with the Blue Jackets there and they're killing it, I would follow it more. So.
Yeah, because this isn't hockey market.
Right.
It's never been hockey market.
I mean, the Monsters, whatever. But still, it's like I mean, I went to the one of the games when they won the championship, but still, you know what I mean? It's not like, I'll go to the Monsters game this week. I don't know, whatever. But shout out to them. You know, they're grinding.
Yeah.
They're grinding.
Like,
they won the championship the same year the Cavs did.
Kind of overthinking that. The Cavs
sure,
kind
but
of
hey, Cleveland,
it.
We're turning up. And then Indians are on fire.
Yeah, that was a great year. But I know with hockey, because I hear, like, I'm more of a football fan. You're looking around the office. There's a lot of Brown stuff.
Sure.
And
right, no, I'm with you.
The thing that I always get, like, you always hear hockey fans be like, well, you know, this could be a hockey market too. And I'm like, I really don't think so.
Now it's a little different. Like this year, especially with the Cavs being decent, you know, if you're, you know, now I'm sorry about the Cavs, but hey, You know, what it's a rebuilding phase. You know what I mean? So yeah. Something to offset it. But if you're bringing in like top teams, you know what I mean? If you're going to play these superstars, you got Sidney Crosby coming to the queue, people will be there. You know what I mean? You got a stacked Penguin squad. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But right now is a little weird with football because we're cruising. You know what I mean? So, but this is the difference with football and hockey is you got 16 game seasons of football. You got 16 games in a week and a half, 2 weeks in hockey. So it's like
that's I always feel like that's the difference between football and every other sport.
True,
because there are 16 games over 17 weeks.
Right,
and every game means something.
Sure,
if the Indians the Indians go on a 16 game losing streak,
yeah,
you know, as long as everything picks back up, everything's fine.
Right,
Browns go on a 16 game losing streak. That's called a bad season.
That's called 2 years ago. Yeah, last year. Jeez.
That's called a number one draft pick.
Right.
So, and it's even the same thing.
Shout out to the Browns, though.
I love it.
Yeah, I know. We got to keep it going, man. I don't know what happened this week, but hey. This week we won. Yeah.
We're calling it.
The Steelers, right? Who do we got this week? Or who do we have last week?
No, last week we haven't won since the – this week pass we had – Falcons.
We beat them. I don't know. Dirty Birds, call me Julio. We'll see you, Matt Ryan. Yeah, it's going to be a tough one.
Yeah.
Or it was a tough one. Yeah. You know.
When this gets dropped, we'll at least have the bye week.
There it is.
So we have that coming up. But yeah, I just love football, I think, because it's I call it the working man's sport.
True.
All you have to know is there's one game a week.
Yep.
They're either going to be at one of three time slots on Sunday or Monday night or the previous Thursday night. Like, it's going to fit somewhere along that schedule. And you can plan everything out around instead of – there's, like, people with – I think with other sports, I don't know how many actually follow every game.
Right.
Like
– yeah. It's hard for the Indians, man. You got to be on your phone 4 days a week, you know?
Especially, like, because they do some earlier games.
Yeah. Yep.
Which that lunch, can be fun.
Yeah.
And I think my big thing, too, is because I think I just had this conversation with Steve Guy, big baseball fan. And I get it. Like, I love all the sports, but if I'm paying money to go to see a sport, it's going to be football. And even then, I don't go as much.
Right.
But I know people are just like, well, why don't people go to the Indians games? So I'm like, well, it is a long season.
Right.
And I feel like that with most sports except football.
It's a long game, too.
Yeah, because
baseball is long.
At least
I can't knock it, but sometimes I'm a little tired. But when that Cracker Jack and the beer guy come by, he wakes me back up, you know? So
I think with baseball, there's no time.
Right.
You can have a game last, I don't know the exact length of games, but let's say you can have one last 3 hours, but you can have one last 5 hours.
Right.
And it's the same.
Usually the ones I go to are about in the middle, three and a half, you know what I mean? And I'm stuck there. I'm having a good time, but yeah, you know, I'm with you. So hopefully the Browns can pick it up. That's
what I hope too.
Right.
Well, I mean, we just
did you get one of those victory cooler Bud Lights?
No, I was at the Kent Browns backer because for those who don't know, I'm a Kent Browns backer because they have Browns backers across the world. Actually.
Yep, I saw one most random places, man.
Yeah, and they always like there are bars and like you meet up and like all this stuff. Kent has one. My girlfriend, her dad is like a board member. And when I met her, I'd always been somewhat interested to start going.
Sure.
And they're just like, yeah. She's like, oh, like we'll go to games. Like, we'll do that. And they do a yearly bus trip. Like we just did, which was fun.
Yeah.
And like I paid for a round trip bus ticket.
Uh-huh.
A ticket to the game, which was lower level.
Nice.
I paid $90.
Solid.
And if I wanted to get wasted, I could have.
Hey.
I'm like, as long as I'm
right, someone else is driving.
Yeah. So.
No drinking and driving, folks.
No, hell no. But that's something that I love about football.
Hey.
I think, too, like going back to.
I got one out of that victory cooler. All right? Okay. I'm not going to say it helped me or kept me even, but I did beat the Duke about a week after. Okay. So, you know what? Maybe it was that taste of victory. It was smooth. Maybe I'll attribute that win to that. I don't know. At least I won, you know?
Yeah. I think the thing about this area as a whole, like going back to like it being like maybe if hockey could survive, I'm like, this area, this region is so pro football.
Yeah.
Like literally the Pro Football Hall of Fame is right down the highway. And even with Pittsburgh, like
you got so many squads right here. You know? Steelers, Indiana,
Indiana. Right, Colts, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Indiana.
So when I hear it's Indianapolis. When I hear Indiana,
same thing. Is it different? Isn't it just short? Indiana is short for Indianapolis.
No, Indiana's a state. Indianapolis is a city.
We're going to need to cut that. Thank you. No, you can leave it. I don't care.
Yeah,
I'm not the best with geography, folks, all right? But I do know when I was in Louisiana, I got a pair of these cowboy boots with gator skin on them from a guy named Gumbo Jones, all right?
Was that when you went down for WrestleMania?
WrestleMania, yeah.
How was that weekend?
That was amazing. That was an amazing weekend. We had the whole AIW squad. We Airbnb'd it.
Yeah.
It was an amazing party, and they talked about it on the podcast. Yeah. We had some pretty legendary run-ins.
Yeah. Like, I went to the one in Orlando, and I felt like there were some legendary run-ins, yeah. But...
Did you see that Elias special where he's playing guitar in the bar?
Yeah.
Okay, so he's playing at this bar. I think that they filmed it on a Friday or something.
Mm-hmm.
That Wednesday, me, Josh Bishop, John Thorne, and Jeff Hardy were there closing that place down. That's all I'm going to say. That's all I can say.
I've seen that picture.
All right.
But there I know there are other legendary
run-ins. Squatted.
What day was it when Arquette was down there?
Oh, we saw him, I think, Saturday at the Impact party.
Okay.
There was an Impact party at this bar called The Swamp, I believe it was.
Okay.
And that was on a Saturday because Friday was – Thursday, I think, was – so Wednesday was Jeff Hardy. Thursday was Janelle Spring Break, I'm pretty sure. Maybe one of the – maybe Friday was Spring Break. I don't know. And then there was Wale Mania. We were hitting all the places. So.
Yeah.
Arquette, though, that was pretty funny to run into him.
Like, I remember the Arquette one, and then Frankie ran into Tommy Wiseau.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was at the hotel. That was crazy.
I'm like, that's pretty freaking awesome.
You never know you're going to see it WrestleMania weekend, you know?
I'm trying to, I don't think I ran into anybody cool. The only story that I had was running into certain people at WrestleCon.
Okay. WrestleCon's a trip, man. That place is amazing. Oh, dude.
And then when you
have
people like coming in and out of there who are not supposed to be there, like I want to say first.
There's always some troublemakers at WrestleCon.
Who do you think the first person we saw as we were like getting there? Like we weren't even inside.
Where was it at?
This is when I went to Orlando.
Orlando. First person you saw at Orlando.
This was actually, we were in the parking garage.
Okay. Parking garage. At WrestleCon?
Yeah.
I don't know why I thought it just Gilbert now, but I'm going to go with Justin Credible. Is that even close?
Yee.
All right.
Virgil.
Oh, right. Of course.
Of course,
Virgil.
He
was probably selling in the lot.
No. He wasn't set up. He was just like chilling.
Right.
No, not chilling, but I should say he was getting ready to go up to the venue,
sure.
And then the first person I seen in the venue, which I thought was cool because it was one of the first people I really wanted to meet that day,
yeah.
And it was the whole family, and I'm like, oh god, that's awesome. Jim Neidhart,
wow,
and
rest in peace,
yeah, and his wife Natty's mom, and I'm just like, oh, because I'm a huge like Hart family. I'm like,
there it is.
Oh my god,
right?
And I actually have a regret when I got the picture with Jim. I should have been like, can I get your wife coming here too?
Wow,
because I'm like,
whole squad, total like, divas, yeah.
I didn't think about it until later, and I was like, son of a bitch.
Hey.
But, and then, like, Adam Cole, and we can talk about it now. Adam Cole was running around and tried to be incognito.
Wasn't he doing that at an AIW show, too?
No, I don't remember an AIW
show.
You
didn't know that? Didn't something happen to DCR and a fan, and
they
took the mask off?
Yeah.
You never know what you're going to – the moral of the story was you never know what you're going to get in the AIW show. So be ready next Friday, Hell on Earth.
But that was Absolution.
Yeah, that was.
But
then he wrestled at Jayla too. That was a crazy match. Him and M-Dog. That was pretty cool.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
But, I think Rich Swann, passed him.
Yeah.
Like, he was with WWE at the time, and he was like, head down, walking. And I just kind of gave him like, I acknowledge you, but I'm going to
let you space, yeah.
And then I think at one point
that's respect right there.
At one point I went around the corner, and I know because of Adam Cole, Ring of Honor people weren't supposed to be there.
Mm.
Like Marty Scurll like came like as we were like passing the opposite direction. I was just like, that's pretty cool. But it was just like you don't want to bug those people and those like at least for me, like
I'm with you.
As a fan, I don't want to be like, hey,
if they're tunnel vision, man, you know.
Or even if they're trying, it's weird, I think, to be in that position. Like, they definitely don't want to be seen. Like, they just want to, like, obviously, especially, I think, WrestleCon, it seems to be like, I want to go here and, like, see some friends that I don't get to see too often because they're all in this room together. Let me go talk to them.
Right.
But.
Hey, that's how it goes. That's how it goes sometimes.
Let's wrap this part up. Let's go get some food.
I'm starving. Let's do it.
So I guess we'll return right after these commercials. And after we eat.
Yo.
Hey, guys. guys, Righteous Jesse here from the Kick Out of Two podcast. And after you get done listening to Wrestling Cheers, where everybody knows your name, you should come on over and check out an episode of the Kick Out of Two podcast. Maybe you want to hear Stevie Richards talk about conspiracy theories. Maybe you're in the mood to hear Dr. Dan read Twas the Night Before Christmas. We've got you covered on both of those, as well as interviews from Mandy Fernandez, Jimmy Rave, Tommy End, Chris Hero, Al Snow, and so many others. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at KOAT Podcast, and you can check us out on iTunes and SoundCloud.
Center stage, center stage. It's the new race, center stage.
Hi there, I'm Ben Center. I'm the host of the brand new podcast, Center Stage. It's a place where I like to bring people on that have interesting stories that I feel the world needs to hear. I talk to authors, filmmakers, burlesque dancers, wrestlers, and I bring on my friends and we deep dive topics about wrestling. So if you want to listen to the podcast, and I hope you do, it's Center Stage, S-E-N-T-E-R, like my last name, Center Stage. We're on iTunes, Spotify, Spreaker. If you want to follow me on Twitter, it's Center Stage NX on Twitter. That's Center Stage NX on both Twitter and Instagram. If you want to follow me, Ben Center, on Twitter, it is Center Club on Twitter. You know what you should do is keep listening to Wrestling Cheers. It's the best podcast about independent wrestling here in Ohio. I want to give a big thanks to all the guys from Wrestling Cheers, especially Justin for this opportunity. Keep listening to Wrestling Cheers. Listen to Wrestling Stage. Wrestling Stage, Center Stage. It's my own podcast. I'm going to leave that in. Listen to Center Stage after you listen to Wrestling Cheers. Let's get back to the show, shall we?
Center Stage, Center Stage. It's the new race, Center Stage.
And we are back. I'm like actually officially back. Commercials are done, but we went and got Swenson's. And let's get the review. We just got back.
Yeah.
What did you think?
Full, okay, let's do it like this. I got the galley boy and a side of onion rings, right?
Okay.
You got the mushrooms, right?
Yes.
Fried mushrooms. That's a pro move. I tried one.
You did try one.
I thought those were better than onion rings.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. I like the fried mushrooms. That's the move next time I go there. Vanilla milkshake. Can't go wrong with that. I was telling Justin that I actually had a milkshake the other day, and it made me almost want to never drink a milkshake again. But this one brought me back to Team Milkshake.
Yeah.
So we're back. Galley boy. I thought it was awesome. A little small. You know, I probably could have ate four of them. You know, I had one, but I probably could have ripped four. But the milkshake kind of offset me. You know what I mean? But I'm going to give it a 7.5 out of 10.
Okay. I don't think it's too bad.
That's, you know, it's good stuff. You know, I'm a little critical on stuff, but I mean, the burger was, you saw me eat it.
Yeah.
That was 4 bites, bro. Maybe 5. Yeah. I smashed. So maybe a little small. 2 patties, though, I got to give them, you know, and it's classic. There's people there working. They're working their butts off, you know?
Yeah.
It's cold out. They're running to the cars. It was old school, which I was really, I really like that. It's the old school drive-in fast food spot. So, Swenson's, good stuff in my book. 7.5. You know, maybe if they, you know, recognized us when we pulled up. You know, I thought we talked to Swenson's management. The tweets were going through. Wrestling Cheers, Wes Barkley, the official collaboration, the first time ever at Swenson's. But the guy had no clue who we were. Hey. Yeah.
He even thought you said A&W, not A-I-W.
Yeah, I said A-I-W, brother. Cleveland, let's go. He said A&W, and where'd he say?
Ravenna.
Yeah, I said, yeah, I'll meet you in Ravenna, pal. We'll talk.
So, yeah, they are a little bit small. That's kind of my big issue with them.
Yeah.
Like, I actually do, when it comes between Swenson's and AIW, because AIW is another.
Yeah. The root beer place.
Yeah. Like, they're known for the root beer, but they also, it's also kind of a, you know, nice drive-in atmosphere. And, like, the ones around here are actual real drive-ins, and they close in the winter.
Yeah. There was no one on roller skates. I'm like, bro.
No. Yeah. But I prefer AIW because a lot of their burgers are a bit bigger.
Sure.
And I feel like when I'm biting into them, I it's a fucking burger, I even said I could definitely eat another galley boy too,
for sure, easily with the milkshake too. But yeah, I mean, I don't really eat fast food too much, so I don't know how that compares to a McDonald's burger or a Burger King in size. You know what I mean? So I didn't know. So, but that's maybe why I was a little thrown off. But it was good stuff. I mean, I would definitely go back. So.
I feel like it's depending on which burger, like what I want to compare it to, because it's bigger than a traditional burger. Mm-hmm. At a lot of places, but it's smaller than your quarter pounder, double quarter pounder, your
and they got the secret Whoppers. Sauces, right? They don't tell you. What is it? Ketchup and tartar sauce, barbecue and tartar?
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But the...
You know, I got that. The galley, I got those taste buds. And also,
they do throw in that olive, like, for those that love olives, so... Yeah.
Which is random, because when I'm thinking of olives, I'm thinking of, like, more Italian-based, you know, pasta and whatnot, but maybe pizza. But, you know, I'll do an olive on a burger. Why not? You saw I riffed it to start off.
Yeah.
It was a good luck charm. Maybe that's what it is, a good luck charm.
There's a story.
They got one on their food truck.
Yeah, that's...
That thing's hanging off the truck.
I think it's on the logo, too.
Yeah, it's hanging off.
I don't know
what the story is.
I don't know the full story with them. Like, I grew up in Ritztown, which is actually right by Ravenna.
Okay.
So, I didn't really grow up in, like, direct downtown Akron, but I always heard of Swenson's, but I wasn't like, oh my God, this is the greatest thing ever until I moved here and I understood, like, people started talking about it more, and I'm like, oh, okay, that thing that's in Stowe is a bigger deal than just the one in Stowe.
Gotcha.
So, the whole background, like, I don't know the olive.
Yeah.
I've watched some of the stuff on it. I mean, ask LeBron James or something. I know he's
all about it.
He's all about it. He loves.
He's probably team in and out, though, now. Ooh, since he moved to Cali. I guarantee you flipped the sides, man. I guarantee you flipped the script. Whoever's giving him that check, that's the same thing with me. You know, if fucking... Oh, excuse me. If...
I don't care. I'm obviously allowed to cuss on there.
Yeah.
Damn.
All right. Well, allegedly. Yeah, I don't care. I mean, if a company, especially a food one, wants to throw money my way and have me endorse their product, if I believe in the product, I'll do it.
So, Swenson's?
Hey, they get back on those DMs, you know? Well, you can definitely make some moves happen. You saw the corporate office next door, you know? Barclay Enterprises might be making a move there soon. Who knows?
See, that's what I'm wondering about with, like, LeBron. Would he be the dude that shows up at an In-N-Out with, like, Swenson stuff on? Or would he be the open to In-N-Out?
You mean, like, clothes-wise?
Yeah, because here's the thing.
Here's the deal. This is insider baseball. Maybe insider basketball.
Okay.
Pretty much, I mean, probably until the dude's dead, he's going to be wearing Nike every time you see him.
Yeah.
Nike gave him that unreal deal money, you know, where it's like, yeah, of course I'll wear them every time I leave the store. You leave my room, leave my house, whatever.
Yeah.
He's always going to be wearing Nike. 100% while he's still playing, but when he retires is when you really see it. But that's when I'll probably drop the lifestyle collection and have his own, you know, chill footwear and chill clothing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
But I, from what I've heard, and what went through the Barclay Enterprise grapevine, they gave him an unreal deal that no human would pass up. So you'll see LeBron wearing Nike all the time.
But the
facts.
But the question is of, like, him and Swenson's and
collab-wise,
In-N-Out. Because you mentioned, like, if it's all about who's paying you that money.
Right.
He's not a hardcore, like, Ohio guy or Northeast Ohio guy.
Right.
He does have that soft spot for Akron.
Sure.
If there's the number one thing that he has that soft spot for within Akron, besides, you know, the kids and everything that he does get back for, it is Swenson's. He, like, when he did the movie premiere, he took Bill Hader, Amy Schumer, and the director, whose name is slipping me right now, but took them to a Swenson's because he loves it so much. All right,
so I'm gonna give it to Swenson's then. That's LeBron and Swenson's for sure. I didn't know that detail, but yeah, I can see him.
Yeah, he'll
probably go in and he'll be like, yeah, In-N-Out's all right, but Swenson's is where it's at.
He'll be like,
hometown flavor.
I'll eat here when I'm not in Ohio, but
it's still, and maybe it'll make him think about it. You know, we out here. Swenson's, shout out to Swenson's. That was good stuff.
Would you go back?
Yes, sir.
When?
Probably summer. I want to see it popping, you know? But I might have to go to Swenson's with a business proposition and get those dudes on some roller skates. You know what I mean? You got to cut down on those steps.
There's now, like, Swenson's and other, like, more north,
too. There's more west ones, too, yeah. So, who knows, man? Maybe, you know, they're going to be everywhere here soon. Better hop on now, right? That's like West Barkley, you know what I mean? I'm climbing the ranks. Better invest in me now before it's too late, you know?
So, basically, you're the Swenson's of wrestling.
I don't know. I don't know if I want to take that, you know? I'm like the... Wow, I don't even know. I would just say surf and turf, bro, you know what I mean? I'm that high-class cuisine.
Okay.
A little pricier, you know what I mean? But
what would be the pricier fast food?
Not even fast food, bro. You know, well, I take a little time with it, you know. I'm like, you know, I like, let's see. Yeah, I wouldn't be some chain place. I'd be some I don't know. People can write in and compare me to food. Let's do that. How about you compare me to food when this drops? Let's hear what you got, people out there in the Wrestling Cheers realm. What food do I, Wes Barkley, remind you of?
I'm really curious to get people's response.
Let's hear it. Yeah, send them in. Best one will get retweeted. Let's do that.
Okay.
There we go.
By both of us?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
All right, man. So, like, I don't go with, like, a generic question, but, like, sure. It's kind of something,
rock
like,
with it. Rock with
something
it.
We talked about a little bit while with the microphones weren't in front of us.
Yeah.
How long have you been doing this?
Okay, so I started training in October of 2016, right? That's right when Johnny left. So I was going to a couple shows.
Yeah.
And I was like, I got to do this, you know? I was like, I got to do this. I got to do this. And then that September show, when Johnny had his last match in Cleveland, that I signed up for the school the next day, emailed Biggins, and then we stayed in touch, and he's like, come check out the training, and I just started training there, and then finally made my debut May of this year, 2018, at the Chandler Biggins Memorial Tag Team Tournament. Everything comes full circle, you know? So then we've just been cruising these last 5 months, 6 months. So that's how long I've actually been wrestling in the ring, yeah.
So within that amount of time, how many companies?
How many companies? We've probably been in seven, I believe. Maybe eight, seven or eight. Yeah, I think eight now.
In how many different states?
Five states.
That's...
Five states. So we did AIW, UXWA, both in Cleveland.
Yes.
We did Nova Pro pre-show match a couple weeks after that. We did Southern Underground Pro, Basement East. We were there. They almost renamed it Basement West, baby. That's me. Then we did the Stomp Out Cancer show in Pittsburgh, I believe, right around Pittsburgh. That's kind of with that Rise promotion.
Yeah.
Then I did ESW in Buffalo. And then we did Marion, Ohio, where I will be this weekend. Marion, Ohio, me and Joshua Bishop, the Rip City Shooters, making a rare appearance in Marion, Ohio for MCW. And we're coming for those MCW title belts. Philly Marino, we'll see you guys in the ring. But yeah, so what is that? Seven companies, maybe? Six companies? Seven? Eight? I lost count. But yeah, five states now. So
that's for not even like the end of your first year. That's, in my opinion, impressive.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
It's kind of like what we were talking about also off,
yeah,
off air. Of, I think it goes to show you how you got trained, where you got trained.
Definitely.
I think means a
Definitely.
Whole world of difference.
For sure.
I have the benefit of not being a student, so hey. I like maybe I have this outsider point of view that,
sure,
yeah, I you can get trained here and there, but I also feel like if you get trained at the right place, it's going to be your key to bettering your career. Like,
100%, 100%.
There's people that have trained at AIW who aren't wrestling anymore. People who just flat out dropped out, and that sure. was their decision.
Right.
But I feel like if you're put in that position, you're given a head start.
Right.
And you're going to be able to wrestle in different states.
For sure.
And you even got, you know, there's wrestlers like, throw him out there, Derek.
Right.
I know he didn't start out AIW, sure. but to better himself, that's where he went to.
Exactly.
And he was already out there a lot as is. And right. that, like, coming to AIW just amplify that.
Definitely.
And now, I mean, he's wrestling everywhere. You're not even your first year, you're wrestling everywhere. And seeing a bunch of other, you know, students get that shot is,
sure.
is something that's totally awesome to see.
Right. It is awesome. There's great people at AIW. Like you're saying, I feel amazing in the ring because of everything I've learned so far.
Yeah.
And the opportunities are just unparalleled, you know. So
mm-hmm.
like you said, I mean, it's the place to be.
I even think like Dom.
Yeah.
Like, I can't.
Who showed me so much. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I can't think of a student who just came out swinging.
Right.
To a now of a point he's earned that spot to where now he's helping teach.
For sure.
Other students.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
that says a lot. I mean, he has a great resume.
Right.
Like, outside of wrestling. And I think what he's done inside of wrestling in the short amount of time
is
great.
Yeah, he's killing it. For sure.
He's great.
Yeah, definitely.
He's another dude that's just popping up everywhere.
There it is.
Like, the more place he pops up, I'm like, that's really cool. I think I made the comparison recently on the podcast. I think he has the potential of being the next Johnny. And I'm not saying, like, oh, he's going to be like Johnny Gargano. Like, he's that Cleveland guy who gets chances other places and is a really a student of the game. And that's what I mean. That's a total compliment to a guy like Dom.
Definitely. 100%. Got to be a student of the game. That's what I've definitely taken from Dom, for sure. You know, besides from mm-hmm. in-ring stuff, is just
yeah.
outside the ring. You know, you got to be on your P's and Q's. You know, you got to be studying tape. You got to be wrestling as many places as possible. And he's given me so many opportunities that I can't thank him enough for. You know what I mean? So,
what's some of the things you picked up from Dom? Like, maybe something,
I mean, he's taught me some
learned.
Holds that I haven't even brought out yet, you know. But, you know, he's got the resume outside the ring, like you said, in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Like, yeah. I mean, he showed me a little, you know, a couple things. Yeah. You know, he's hurting people. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So if I ever need to do that, I've learned that. But just how to just how to kill it when you go to places. You know, show your best self first.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I didn't word that right. But give a good first impression. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, that stuff. He's given me the opportunity to go with him on the road, and that's how some of these matches, most of these matches happen. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He liaised on these deals for me. So that was awesome. You know, but just him killing it and busting ass and the work ethic. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
I think he learned from probably one of the best, and he's really mirrored a guy like Johnny.
For sure.
And I think when the AIW school was first talked about years ago, I was kind of thinking, what's going to happen? Like, Johnny is WWE bound. This was like 2012,
right.
2013. I'm thinking, you know, eventually that's got to be coming for Johnny. What do we do? Like, what happens with John? Like, the school? Like, does he just go away and the school is just like forgot about? And then, like, Dom is like got to be that guy that like takes over. And I mean, granted, there seems to be other people. Like, I don't know everything, but I do know.
But yeah, like everyone there. But you know what I mean? Like you're saying, whoever's there, you can learn something from.
And
you know how you said about, you know, just being the best of your craft. You just got to always learn something. You know what I mean? So you never know who's around. If Derek's around, you know, Eric Ryan's around, Dr. Dan's around, Frankie Flynn, you know, like these guys have all done their own thing. Brian Carson, when they're around, you can learn something from everybody, you know, whether it's a hold, you know, how to hit someone a different way, you know, how to, you know, outsmart your opponent sometimes, you know, thinking a couple steps ahead to even just cutting a promo, you know? So there's something you can take from everybody, and the AIW school is, you know, it's where it's at because like you said, the track record speaks for itself. Yeah. Everyone's killing it. So we're just going to keep it rolling and keep crushing it.
And then like kind of goes on with the school and we, you know, you briefly mentioned them fucking PME, man.
Yeah. PME.
Like
good dudes.
They
okay, here's a little insider secret right here.
Okay.
Barclay Enterprises, right, has come to a deal with Philly Marino, and I officially purchased real estate in Erotic City. So that's you know, so we'll see what happens there. It goes into my holding company, Barclay Enterprises, you know, another investment. The real estate game's where it's at. Okay. We could talk about that on a different podcast, different day. But yeah, we came to a deal. So it's good because it's right in time because this is gonna come out Thursday. Friday and then Saturday, so 2 days from now I'm going to be wrestling them for the belts.
Yeah.
And you know, we've talked about this, me and PME, it's not personal, it's just business. You know, me and Bishop are getting the gold, so
yeah,
but they're great dudes and they are absolutely killing it, you know. So they didn't start in AIW, they started at Mega when they start training, but they came to the school, and like you said, dude, ever since then they've just been tearing it. I mean, they were crushing it before,
don't get
me wrong, they have chemistry like I've seen with no other people in a tag, but those two guys are on fire right now. I heard there was some shenanigans at the end of the match at the Winchester, so you never know what's going to happen with those dudes in the title picture, you know, but those dudes are absolutely busting their ass and they're killing it, and I don't think I've ever seen someone kick out of the Sunset Dreams.
The thing is with PME is, I mean, they have the chemistry between them,
right,
which is always great with the tag team. They also have chemistry with fans.
Oh, hell yeah.
Just, I've watched them, and I've mentioned this before, and I think it bears repeating, is the fact that I've watched them debut in front of a crowd that has, like, walking in that venue, had no idea who PME was.
Okay.
But we're talking about 10 seconds into their entrance, they're all about it.
100%. I mean, and, dude, I don't dance. You know, I don't dance. But as soon as that music comes on, I start riding with, you know, Philly Collins, you know. Studio, you know, I start going with it. And people, like you said, the crowd starts going with it.
Yeah.
And then they get in the ring and they get their stuff done.
Yeah.
You know, they beat people up.
That's the thing that I love.
But about they can, me. And they do their dance, you know, they can back it up. So, yeah, those dudes, definitely, definitely.
So, you talk about purchasing land.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Have you looked into investments in the land of sports entertainment?
Okay. I haven't been, you know, that's a little south, what is it, southeast, southwest of Erotic City. I haven't been down there yet, but you know, we can have a business if you can set that up, you know. I would love to look into that.
I mean, there's sports entertaining, there's also Jollyville.
Jollyville's by Rip City, you know, so we kind of had a little, you know, We're all right. We're not, there's nothing. There's no feathers. We're, those dudes always tear it up. So,
okay.
But we're not. We're Rip City's got its own little thing, and you know. But Erotic City, you know, that was a deal I couldn't beat.
Okay.
So, yeah, maybe sports entertaining. We'll see. We'll see. I haven't visited there. I heard it's great. June, July, August months. You know, summer. So next summer I'll be down there. Who knows?
I've heard it's very golden.
Oh yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Well, guess what? My favorite color is green, but I love wearing gold. You know. So.
Yeah. But it's not good when the gold becomes green.
That's, yeah. Then it's not the, it's not, that's the middle, that we call it the middle of the mall gold.
It's done, you know? Not a very good mix.
Yeah, we don't do that middle of the mall stuff. Yeah, none of that. But yeah, it would be awesome to invest in some gold, you know what I mean? So
there's a lot to talk about, but stuff that I just can't think of off the top of my head.
Keep
right
it
now.
Going. Yeah, we're chilling. We're having a good time. Where's Thrift Store Jobber? I thought he'd be over here, and I thought Ronnie Two Legs, Ron Double Deuce, would be right there. Where are they at?
You see all the stuff around here. You figure Thrift Store Jobber might be somewhere around here.
Oh, definitely.
There's
some iconic pieces in here, brother.
The costume belt that I have above my door, that was purchased from Thrift Store Jobber.
That's what got me into the game.
That or the winged eagle?
What? Yep. The winged eagle, maybe with the blue strap.
Okay.
That's me. Hey, I was born in 1994. All right.
God, you're young.
But the thing is, that's what I wanted. The real one is the big gold belt. That's what I wanted. That's what got me into the game.
Big gold over
WCW?
Winged eagle?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it depends. You know, the blue. But last night I was watching something. There was a green strapped European title. That's what I want right now. That's what I got my eyes on right now.
Who had it?
X-Pac. But he was wearing red.
Okay.
It was red X-Pac. That was a fiery one.
Yeah.
But yeah, that the winged eagle definitely is an iconic piece. But the big gold, whew.
I think that's...
And then it got spray painted NWO, man. Come on. That's my number one belt for sure.
Winged eagle, that's mine.
Number one?
Love that. Like, I just look
that
at
one
it.
That is awesome.
You just think of, like, all the people that held it.
Yep.
Like... Hogan, Warrior, Savage, Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels. Technically, the last person to hold it was Austin.
Right. I was like, going to say,
you know, after he won it.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It just, it always brings back so much nostalgia. Like, I watched WCW, but I was never like that hardcore WCW guy. Like, I'd watch WCW Saturday Night and everything. Like, I remember Johnny B. Bad. I remember, everybody I can think of are just like people were a little bit later
for
on.
Sure.
But like Johnny B. Bad's the one I remember because when he debuted in WWF at the time as Mark Merrill, it's like,
Merrill.
Oh, I'm like, oh, that's Johnny B. Bad. Johnny B. Bad's fun.
He was like, a little different for sure.
Yeah,
but like, yeah, so it's like whatever. Okay, so I was like 4 or 5 when this is happening. You know what I mean?
Well,
5 and 99.
God,
I was stone cold for Halloween in kindergarten, brother. God. So you know what I mean? Like, I have a bad memory. You know what I mean? If I can remember these moments from when I'm 4, 5, 6 years old, that's something that's like iconic in my life.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So when Stone Cold threw, I think it was the IC belt into the lake, you know, that's like one of my first wrestling memories, And then like, so like seeing the Outsiders come out. So maybe I was a little more WCW, but at the same time, I'm 4 years old. I'm flipping through channels. I have no clue what's going on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not like I could be like, okay, Monday at 7, I'm going to put on TNT. I'm like, I can barely write my name.
It's just
right. People write their name on their forehead? I don't know. I could talk.
It's just images
for sure.
Because I know for me that I've constantly stated is wrestling was always there.
Yeah,
like my dad would come home every Sunday, or actually no, every Sunday I know he would have on WWF All American. It might have been something prior to when I remember, but I remember when I was watching it, it was WWF All-American.
Yeah.
It was a little bit before Raw officially started, and I just remember, like, that was the thing, like, going home, watching that, like...
For sure.
And then Raw came along, and I remember watching guys like Crush and Razor Ramon, where I didn't know who was good, who was bad, I just knew who I liked.
Like,
I first liked Razor... And I look back.
Coolest dude to ever do it, man.
When he first started, I'm like, I loved him. And I go back and I'm like, oh my God, he was a bad guy. But as a kid, I thought this guy was amazing.
That's what it is, man.
That's why, like, when I met him, I remember being like, dude, you're one of my first favorite wrestlers.
For sure.
Like, it's really hard to pinpoint, like, if you've been watching, like, as long as we have, we're like, okay, this is the first favorite. Cause you just, like, look at someone, you're like, oh, I like them, or I like this person. Because I think I remember.
And now, too, because you get it clouded by who you've been watching lately. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Which is crazy. Because, like, I think, you know, obviously, like, every year I was alive, I had a different favorite wrestler, like, that year. So, like, now if you ask me who my top 10 were compared to when I was 10, there would probably be eight same, but like maybe two different guys. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It kind of clouts, you know, but I try to stay as unbiased. I try to stay as all time as possible when I say that. You know what I mean?
So. Yeah. But I think the older you get, the more new wrestlers will debut or catch your eye. And then all of a sudden they move up your list. Like for me, it'll forever be Brett and Sean number one all time list. But because I was actually just having this conversation with Stacy about our top list. I think we both did a top five.
Yeah.
Brett and Sean, always my number one spot. I don't differentiate between them. But then after that, it's like it goes Kane. And then
Kane's a beast.
Steen Owens.
Okay.
And then I think I go Owen Hart and then Gargano.
Wow.
So obviously
you're hitting all bases,
you know,
though, bro.
You know, 10 years ago, you know, Steen wasn't on that list. Gargano wasn't on that list. And I had probably had other people. Like, actually, about 5 years ago, I would have told you Dolph was in my top five.
Yeah.
But after watching more of Johnny and then, like, finally discovering more of Steen, like, I was like, oh, my God, like, he jumped up my list. And then when he debuted in WWE, he went higher.
For sure.
And I'm just like, oh, my God, this guy's so much fun to watch.
I was watching him today, Animal. Yeah, so, I mean, it's hard to pick favorites, man. It's hard to pick favorites.
It is, man.
Yeah. Shout out to Stone Cold, though. I got to give him number one. If I was him for Halloween in kindergarten, that's grandfathered into number one.
Yeah. I mean, if you were born in 94.
1994.
That's your
realm. 4 or 5 years old. I'm 5 years old. It's 99. I got a bald cap on. My mom drew a goatee on me. I came into school, you know, I had to keep the middle finger censored, but people knew who I was and they could get stunnered at any minute.
Austin probably was your Hogan.
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely.
So that's why I wasn't like super hot into Hogan when I was growing up. You know what I mean? Like 4, 5, 6, I wasn't. But then NWO Hogan, when he came back, Hollywood, I fucked with that. That was cool.
I was about to say, because WCW Hogan, like, that's when he started, like, when you were born. Like, you didn't have any recollection of him being in WWF until he came back.
Yeah, I only knew him when I first found Hogan, he had the lightning bolts, you know? He was NWO Hollywood.
Yeah.
But it's still, he wasn't even my favorite then. It was like, I want to watch Steve Austin, you know, throwing belts in the river and stirring up shenanigans, driving a Zamboni, and I want to see the Outsiders. You know, those are my favorite, you know, so.
When I think of that moment.
Three favorite guys right there. Undertaker, bro, you know.
When I think of that moment of him throwing the belt into the.
Shane McMahon.
Into the river. It's, didn't he, like, he said something along the lines of, like, because this is back in the pager years, like.
Yeah.
Like paged him 316 or something. Always remember.
Yeah.
Remembered that. That's one thing that's crazy, like talking about wrestling with someone who grew up in a different time, just like what they remember. Because to me, it's like I said, Brett and Shawn. Like that was my childhood, and I was around for Hogan, Warrior, Savage, but I was like way too young to put really two and two together. When I like started really get into it, it was Brett and Shawn. But you're way after all of that.
Yeah. But then like those magazines, bro.
Yeah.
The World of Wrestling. So I started probably getting those in 2099.
We start talking about this, but we purposely left it off.
Sure.
What was your experience with those magazines? Because there's
Loved them. I'm still about to buy them again.
There's one issue
that
I remember.
Which one you got?
My dad like randomly brought that one home because that didn't last long. That was like, what, a 2-year magazine?
Probably. But they were like affiliate. I think Bill After wrote for them.
Was it?
Yeah. Or took the pictures because they were heavy ECW.
They were everybody. Like,
I'm sure. They were, but they gave ECW that like level playing field.
Because normally it would be like probably at earlier WWF, WCW, and then like they actually had like three sections.
For sure.
The issue that I remember.
Yeah.
And I don't remember every issue like this. There was like a front cover and a back cover.
Yeah.
The main front cover
was
Kane.
Yeah. And he looked so weird because his hair was in a ponytail.
He
like seemed like a normal dude. And then the other side was a chick in blue. Sable in him.
I don't remember the chick in blue because I remember there was two cover stories.
Yeah.
The other one was Shawn Michaels.
Oh, wow.
And like there was somewhere in the magazine a picture of his wife, who was a Nitro girl, former Nitro girl, reading his Playboy.
Wow.
Like it was like her, like,
oh,
like
that's
you only,
funny.
You only see like the cover, like you don't see anything inside
that's
it.
That's funny.
Not Playboy, but Playgirl.
Sure.
But still, it's like, that's one thing I remember because it was like, that's two of my favorite. Like Kane and Shawn Michaels, same issue.
You got to get it then, man.
Those
magazines, dude, they opened me up. Like, dude, I saw Liger
in
the back of that magazine when I'm 4 or 5 years old. You know, they did a picture. He's like working at a desk. I was like, who is this guy? He's got a crazy mask. But I see Abdullah bleeding in it. I saw Sabu.
Yeah.
I saw RVD. I was, you know, New Jack. I was like, this dude's sweet. You know, so I already was on some, you know, vision clouding. The ones I had the number one where it showed all the covers or all these pictures and it had the number one cutout in it.
Yeah.
And then I had the Dudley boys and it said, those damn Dudleys. Those were the two I had. I'm about to rebuy them.
That's the one that I
had. Yep. See, doesn't he look like a normal dude?
Yeah.
They're like trying to make him look like a normal dude where he's like, hey, this is just, you know, I'm a regular. But it's like, dude, you threw a fireball at someone, you know?
And I want to say Shawn Michaels is on the back cover.
Right.
Or it might even be Kane, too. But I remember my dad randomly coming home and just like, oh, here. And I just like the three different sections.
Yeah. And they all got their sweet pictures. They did rankings, you know?
Yeah.
Like random pictures, you know? So
the thing that I remember is I pulled, like pictures out of it. Actually, that's where I first had pictures of Lita when she was in ECW.
Yeah.
Was it Miss Congeniality?
Something like that.
I'm not a huge ECW guy, so someone could be probably tweeting me right now, correcting me of like, no, idiot, it's this. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Hey.
But like, I remember, I think she debuted like a year or so after that. I'm like, wait a minute. That's Lita. Like, that's her. Like, oh my God.
Yeah.
And like, I had her pictures and like, they had like really cool bio pictures.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Where it'd be like,
sweet.
Yeah, it'd be,
all the stats.
Yeah. Stats.
I'm like,
and
okay.
Like,
this really is cool. Sabu. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
I
yeah.
got this
yeah,
guy,
yeah.
Jerry Lynn. Okay. Oh yeah. I got to see the Rocks one, you know, stuff like that. They always had sweet pictures behind the scenes. So yeah, like I was kind of talking about this earlier. I get in these waves where I just like 2 weeks, week and a half, I'm just on a subject. Like I'll listen to one type of music and I want to get the most out of that. Or I'll watch this guy's movies or watch all this guy's matches and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah,
so even back then, like we can go back to there, you know, like I was getting as much wrestling information as I could at the time.
Yeah.
It was way before internet was crazy, you know?
Yeah.
So I'd get those magazines. I'd learn about people,
uh-huh.
you know, I'd get the DVDs, you know, Backyard Wrestling Game and you
yeah.
see all those guys and, you know, the JCW DVDs and seeing Chris Hero and M-Dog, you know, and just stuff like that. There was something else I was about to say about that magazine that, oh, I was just trying to get the most. So I was always just, you know, just trying to learn as much as possible from it. I don't know where I was going with that, but
yeah.
you know what I mean.
I don't even go the Pondo route that we were
halfway through. Yeah, it was funny seeing him. I went to the show, I went to the show and Madman Pondo's just eating chicken nuggets and french fries. And he was setting the whole show up and I was kind of in awe. I was like, wait a minute, this is that dude. Oh, okay. This is how it works. All right, cool. Nice to meet you. You know, so just something random with that. But
and almost not exactly the same thing, but I remember there was one GNO show back when it was at Turner's Hall.
Okay.
And I got there really early and I actually helped set up a little bit. And then I was told, okay, like you have to go away in the hallway. So I went out and did it. For some reason, when people started showing up, they just waited in line outside of the building.
Okay.
I'm sitting in an empty hallway where normally people are filing in.
Sure.
And I was like, okay, whatever. Like, I'll just chill here. And some wrestlers started to walk in.
Yeah.
And they must have thought I was part of the show or something. Taylor Hendricks.
Okay.
She walks right in. She puts her stuff down. And she's like, hi, I'm Taylor. Like, doing the normal
sure.
wrestler thing. And I'm thinking, I know who you are. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
But, oh my God, like just one of those weird, surreal moments.
Hey, that's how it goes, man.
Yeah.
Me, I never thought I'd be, you know, taking shots with Jeff Hardy in New Orleans.
Yeah.
So that's bucket list stuff, I guess.
I'm trying to figure out if I had like a real wrestling, like a weird wrestling bucket list. Because there's one thing of like meeting people.
Yeah.
Like I've met some of my favorites. I think the only thing that comes to the top of my head is, and I feel every wrestling fan should be like this to an extent, I really want to meet Vince.
Oh, yeah, man. That's what I was going to say. Okay, so I wanted to get the most out of everything, right?
Okay.
So I was reading magazines, whatever I can get my hands on. I'm 5 years old, right?
Okay.
So my grandpa knew I loved wrestling. Like, I loved it, you know? And by that time, I knew I was going to do it, right?
Yeah.
So when I'm 4 or 5 and I'm seeing Stone Cold, I'm seeing Disco Inferno, I'm like, damn, that dude had a cool dance. You know, I'm going to be that guy, you know? But the outside is really what did it too with Stone Cold. But so I knew I was going to do it. So my grandpa was like, hey, let me, you know, he wanted to help out. So instead of just renting, people don't even know about that Blockbuster Hollywood Video, you know, but instead of renting or going to the library and getting me like a Raw best of or like a pay-per-view, he got me Beyond the Mat. Right.
Oh.
So I watched that when I was like 5 years old and I'm like, what is going on? Why don't I get to see, you know, Undertaker put a dude on that cross? Or why can't I see Stone Cold kicking ass? You're seeing all the inside. So it was like so crazy. I watched that when I was like five or six. You know what I mean? 2000. So but that movie, legendary. Legendary movie.
I have two VHSs around here of that.
Legendary movie.
One of them I just bought off of a friend, and it's still in the package.
Legendary movie.
Yeah. I think it's weird I only own it on VHS. Like, I don't own a digital copy.
That's real, man. Hey, that's what I watched it on.
I want to get it, like, upgraded so bad.
It's, dude, that movie is classic. Just shows so many different sides of wrestling. ECW, you know, they're on the come up. You see the training school. You see the trial match. It's so crazy, man.
Have you seen Wrestling with Shadows?
No, I had never seen that. I'll check it out.
I feel like...
That's when they got the hallway footage, right? Some epic stuff there.
The way I look at it is that is really convenient that he has a documentary crew right around the time that everything's happening.
Hey.
And it's I think if you're talking about like wrestling documentaries, for not counting, you know, Friends of the Show marking out and everything, but those are two staples.
Definitely.
Because you have Beyond the Mat, which, you know, has a narrator and they're going over all these.
Every angle.
Oh, you're talking about, you know, the Jake the Snake stuff.
Right.
And there's...
Especially how the business was at that point, too.
Yeah.
20 years ago.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like just so different now with the internet and everything that was like such an eye-opening experience for a viewer, you know? So definitely out of its time, you know? Timeless movie, too, at the same time. You know
and everything we've seen with like the Wrestling Road Diaries, I've often wondered, why don't we get a Beyond the Mat? Like, imagine Beyond the Mat 2.
What if they did it in Saudi Arabia, man? That's when they filmed it, you know? They went out there and they just showed all that going on. You know, it's like WWE is global. The universe is a real thing, man. It's like all over the world people know the WWE now. All over the world people know every star. You know what I mean? It's so crazy to think about. So it would be definitely a good comeback to that. Especially with Vince, man. You never know what's going to happen. You know, he's running and gunning Wes Barkley style. You know, that hurry-up offense.
I feel like if they did a second one, it's like you could have like your real traditional part two stuff with like everything, like where Jake the Snake has been since then.
Oh, yeah.
You could easily go with instead of going to ECW, you go to, I don't know, you go to New Japan, you go to Ring of Honor.
Right.
You maybe pick up a couple independent. Like there's
I
feel like there's a lot more to tackle. But
That's why even Road Diaries was so awesome. Road Diaries was awesome.
I love Road Diaries. I want him to do a fourth one, but it's like, what's left? I think he's
WrestleMania weekend.
I thought.
But then you'd have to do it every year.
He would have to do it every year. I think he said if he ever did it again, it would be, he might have to do War International.
Oh, yeah. That would be awesome.
I mean, because everything has had its own story.
For sure.
The last one was probably my favorite.
Yeah, third. Like, oh, that was awesome.
Just all the comedy guys just together.
But Gallows is hilarious on the second one.
Oh, yeah.
That dude is unreal. But yeah, third one's awesome too.
So. Yeah, when they came,
Kikutaro, man, he's a legend.
When they came to AIW, that was like my fourth AIW show.
Okay,
second time seeing Cabana, but obviously that was like my first time seeing Gallows. Like that was the debut in Turner's Hall.
Right. I never got to go to Turner's, man.
It was good for the time.
Yeah.
Like we talked privately. Like I don't think AIW could ever go back to that. Like when we went from as part of AIW, sure. Like being a fan.
Yeah.
When we went from Turner's to Our Lady of Mount Carmel, it seemed like from a fan base, oh my God, it sucks. We got to go to someplace new. But like when we got in there, like after a few shows, I remember turning to Biggins and go, oh my God, are we like getting more people? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, so we would never even be able to go back to Turner's. He's like, oh, hell no.
Right.
Like it was just, it's like a,
for sure.
It's like a big fish, small pond thing.
Exactly.
Where we were getting too big for Turner's Hall, where like, when we'd have shows there, it was packed, and we finally moved to a place to where, there's bleachers, and there's plenty of room, and even then, there's been some apps that have been like, oh my God, like,
packed.
We still need to find a bigger place.
We've been cruising lately, you know, Mount Carmel's been packed, Winchester packed, Tadmore Shrine packed, WrestleRager packed.
Yeah.
If not sold out, WrestleRager was sold out, you know.
Yeah.
Abso was probably sold out. Tadmore Shrine, they were, you know, there's... almost sold out, if not sold out. You know, that place was packed. Uh-huh. We've been cruising. So, I mean, AIW's on fire.
Uh-huh.
Big 2019 coming up.
I'm almost curious because it seems like every year we're just like, oh, AIW can't get any better.
Right.
Like, this is the best. This is the pinnacle. And then the next year happens and it's like, oh, shit. It did. It got better. Like, I remember...
These shows just keep getting crazier and crazier, you know? And
I remember telling Biggins or asking Biggins. Because I always like, hey, man, book this person. Like, I really want them to come here. I was saying for years, book Steiner.
Scotty. And that's my dude.
And Biggins was like, oh, no, man. We seen them at what he did at. Oh, what the fuck was that called? Jeff Jarrett's promotion. We seen what GFW? He did. We seen his line at Global Force. We're good. Yeah. We don't need him.
Scotty.
And like when he got booked last year,
Scotty tore it up at Absa. He was fueled by Cracker Barrel, baby.
We won't need to get to that, but
we don't need to. They should know.
But if you don't know that story, there's just go to the AIW podcast.
Crackerbarrel.com/Barkley. That's where you can find all the details, brother. But now all these other guys want to get on the Cracker Barrel grind, you know, like those the Generation Next guys or whatever. Generation Me, what was it? Just kidding, the Young Bucks. I know.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Just messing around. I know those guys. Just kidding.
All right. Let's start to wrap this show up. But before we do,
sure,
we got to get into the Fave 5 questions. Yes, and we actually have a soundbite to play.
Hey, this is Booker T, 5-time champ, and this is the Fave 5 questions. Now, can you dig it?
My guy, King Booker. Yes, sir. Fave 5. All right.
Well, you want to give a little brag moment that, you know, you helped me get it?
Oh, yeah. We had a liaison that Barkley Enterprises. You know, we're making deals, baby.
Yeah.
I got you, brother.
And help us get the official Fave 5 soundbite. So.
Yes, sir.
All right, let's go question number one. You're a food guy. We might go a lot of strong food questions here.
Do 10 food questions. Let's make it happen. I'm always hungry.
Bacon or sausage?
Bacon or sausage. I'm going to go with, wow. You see, usually when I order food, right, I'll get the French toast, right, and you either get bacon or sausage with it. So I'll get bacon with the French toast, but then I'll order like 3-4 eggs and an omelet, and then I get the sausage with that. So. I'm going to have to go with both. But if I really had to pick one, I would go with bacon. Crispy bacon.
Okay, because that was going to be the follow-up.
Crispy. Because I don't like sausage out of a box. Like, you know, some of that sketchy process stuff. I don't do that. Okay. You know, if you got the good, you know, we'll make it happen. But bacon, number one. Crispy, number two. Yes, sir.
Okay, question number two. Is Chicago deep dish pizza?
Yeah.
Okay.
People say it ain't.
Oh, there's people that says it's like... I've heard a casserole. I've heard a pie. What? But then I go, wait, pizza is a pie. And I
here's
have
a different here's the thing. Before Bob Barkley, my dad, before he started doing the rodeo, he lived in Chicago. He was born in Glen Ellen, Joliet, somewhere in Chicago.
Okay.
And so he's always got me going on the deep dish life. So Chicago is deep dish pizza. I'm more of a New York slice guy, though, and I just fold in half when I eat it. So if anyone's got heat with that, we'll talk.
God, you're kind of like knocking off other questions I have because I do have Chicago style versus New York style, but that's not going to be an official question.
Okay.
You mentioned the whole Chicago thing. So this is a Chicago-related question. Does this go with you?
Yeah, let's hear it.
How do you feel about ketchup on hot dogs?
Ketchup on hot dogs. I mean, it's all right. It's whatever. I usually go, I don't eat hot dogs really. I'm not going to lie.
Okay.
Not a big fan of hot dogs, but... if I was going to eat one, I'd probably just throw a bunch of stuff on it, whatever that is. So,
okay.
Chicago dog, what do they do? Mustard and peppers and pickles and stuff.
Onions.
Yeah.
It's a lot of stuff.
I'll do it all. Hey, whatever, man. I'm all about layers to flavor, all right?
Okay.
I've been to Flavor Town too, so you know what I mean.
Wings, bone in or out?
I got to go bone in, man, because bone outs, you know, those are just chicken nuggets. People said it before. Gage said it. When Gage said it, I go, you're the authority on that. Yes, sir. MDK, got it.
Yep.
You know, because, I mean, it's like if I'm putting in an order, you know, I want to get the bone in wings. But like if I'm like starving, you know what I mean? I'll get some chicken nuggets with barbecue sauce drenched on them or a buffalo sauce. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So bone in. Final answer.
Let's see, I think that's question... It's four. Question number five.
Yeah.
Let's go with the Wilkman question from the Kick Out of Two podcast.
Shout out to Kick Out of Two. Shout out to Wilkman. Shout out to Jesse.
Shout out to Brittany because that's the...
Shout out to Brittany. Sorry, Brittany.
She's the third member.
Jesse, what up?
Is Die Hard a Christmas movie?
Man. Do you remember that Die Hard arcade game?
No.
Die Hard arcade game. There was snow in it. There was a helicopter. It was snowing. Uh-huh. So... I'm leaning towards it. You know what I mean? Leaning towards it, towards Christmas movie, but I'm going to have to go with no. Sorry.
Okay.
Christmas movie number one for me, Jingle All the Way.
That's the follow-up question. It was, is...
I'm two steps ahead of the game, brother. You know, I got a college degree in being four steps ahead of the game. Yes, sir.
But, yeah. Jingle all the way is...
That's like back to the Stone Cold and the stuff. You know, I was 4 years old and I wanted, that was the go-to movie for me. Christmas time. 101 Dalmatians, those dudes were running around, but Jingle All the Way was my go-to.
I felt like when Jingle All the Way came out, it just felt like a regular Christmas movie.
Yeah.
But the older I got, the more I began to appreciate it. Like,
oh, hell yeah,
I
man.
Still love the stereotypical Christmas movies like a Christmas Story, a Home Alone,
yeah.
Miracle on 34th Street, your Rudolphs, your Grinches, your Frosties, but... It's that one that came out in my childhood. Ooh, the Santa Claus, too. But that's the one that came out in my childhood.
Legendary,
that it was never really appreciated. Like, Turbo Man was great.
Icon.
There's so many great one-liners. I think I mentioned on here, or maybe just a different conversation, where so many things to quote, like, you know, it's the Grinch scatter. Or,
right.
Or a little buddy.
Right.
Or there's...
Movies just... It's just... And that's just a... Just those late 90s movies, man. That's my life right there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just how they were made and just the cast of characters, you know, so.
Ta-ta, Turtle Man.
Hey.
Another good one.
Yeah.
All right. And I believe that is the sixth question.
Yeah.
And I've tailored around you. We'll go with, where can you get the best burger?
Where can you get the best burger?
For you, in your opinion, I should say. Not like there's a right or wrong, but like.
Yeah.
Wes Barkley wants a hamburger. He can go wherever he wants. Where's he going?
Wow.
Because we just had a hamburger, so.
This Donnie Wahlberg dude keeps hitting me up. Wahlberger, something like that. He keeps hitting me up to work out with him. So, but I've never eaten there. Never eaten at Wahlburgers.
Okay.
In-N-Out Burger's decent. You know, I've been coast to coast, and I've eaten Versace French toast. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Best burger. Wow. Maybe Flipside. I don't know. Maybe Flipside, they're a little chain action.
Where's it? What's that?
There's a couple around Cleveland. There's some good stuff. You know what? This is it. This is my final answer. Okay. Right here.
Okay.
This might technically not be a cheeseburger, but if I was feeling like I wanted a cheeseburger, right? Okay. This is where I'm going. Steak and Shake, and I'm getting a Frisco melt.
Steak and Shake.
Frisco melts, brother. You know what I'm saying?
I feel like
speaking of Kiku Tar, I'm not in the buffet club, but I'm in the Steak and Shake. Yeah, I'm in the me and Kiku. We're in the Steak and Shake Club, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And he said that after we ordered. He said justice. So I said, all right, cool. I'll take it. But yeah, Steak and Shake Frisco Melt.
If you ever go back to Nova.
Yeah.
The guy that runs it.
Mike. Yeah.
When he actually came up for J-Lit 20, it's right before Nova started, so 2015.
Yeah.
And we got Steak and Shake. And like he, like.
Steak and
whatever
Shake,
whatever they came out, because. He was in the back seat. We actually had the window open for him.
Yeah.
So, like, whatever they actually came out on, he got so excited.
Hell yeah, man.
But
it's good stuff.
Steak and Shake is, like, my favorite after wrestling food. Like, I know there's people that there's people that go Waffle House, which it's good. I've done it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Just, like, get a burger, get a milkshake.
Yeah. Yep.
It's a great
I'm with you. More when I do Steak and Shake, I go quantity too. I do a lot of Steak and Shake. I rip up that 2-for-5, 2-for-4 menu. Probably get 3 2-for-4s in a Frisco, you know? Because I'm smashing after shows.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Wasn't there a hot take question I was supposed to answer?
I
heard about that one.
Here's the thing.
I got a hot take. Okay, this is something that's been on my chest either way.
This is a bonus question.
This is a bonus question.
Going for
bonus
extra credit.
Statement that I've been hearing, you know? Some people sent me some stuff about the review on the Winchester show, right?
Yeah.
There's been people talking. I beat the Duke.
Okay.
Facts. Factual evidence, right?
Yeah.
There's video evidence. 1, 2, 3. I won, and I left. So, wouldn't that make me the Haas Division champion? I think so. Yeah. I don't have the gold boot, but I have a lot of other items that are gold. So, the other day, I set up a meeting with AIW management and Matt Wadsworth. I asked Matt Wadsworth, since I beat the Duke, am I the Haas champion? Do you want to know what his answer was?
What was it?
No, I'm not the Haas champion. He said, although you did beat the Duke, it was not an official title match. So, technically, I'm not the Haas division champion, but technically I am. You know? So, I did win. So,
okay. So, maybe he'll get a rematch where you can prove yourself.
Me?
Yeah.
I don't need to. I'm the champ.
But what if he wants it back?
Who, Dookie?
Yeah.
Well, he's got the belt now, or the boot. The boot. So yeah, it's kind of over. You know, I proved it that I could take on a, what is he, 280 pounds. I'm 180 pounds. Beat the Hoss division. There's nothing else to prove in the Hoss game for me. You know what I mean? I beat the top dog, boot or not. You know, I know what I did. Okay. 1, 2, 3, Wes Barkley.
Are you gonna? Tuan gonna challenge you next?
Me and Tuan got a good relationship right now, but I know he is affiliated with Duke Money, and Duke Money does not like Barkley Nation and Wes Barkley. They don't. So we'll see what happens there. You know, I'm just trying to take everything day by day, do my thing.
Yeah.
Eat good food, live a great life, you know.
All right. Any final thoughts or last minute plugs before we go?
Final thoughts, last minute plugs. Well, this weekend I'll be in Marion, Ohio, like I said earlier, Midwest Championship Wrestling, making a rare appearance with Joshua Bishop, the Rip City Shooters, back at it. Running and gunning, brother. Running and gunning. I'm going to be quarterbacking this whole thing, you know. We're taking on the Philly and Marino experience for the belts, for the tag team belts. So that's this weekend. And then next weekend, you do not want to miss this. Hell on Earth.
Oh, yeah.
Our Lady of Mount Carmel. Two amazing matches announced, right? Two amazing matches announced already.
Well, hopefully by the time this gets
a couple more
released, there should be a bunch more.
Already. You got No Consequences taking on the production, which would be an awesome match. And if No Consequences wins, the next day they're taking on Rip City Shooters, brother. So at UXWA next Saturday, I'll be there.
Yeah.
Me and Josh Bishop tearing it up. But also, possibly the biggest match of 2018. Match of the year potential right here. La Parca, the original La Parca, the original authentic.
La Parca.
L.A. Park, brother.
L.A. Park.
Versus Nick Gage. Do I need to say more?
Also, there two matches were announced, but as of this recording, there's no graphic for it.
Sure. What else?
We do have Tracy Williams versus Eddie Kingston.
Wow.
For the Absolute Championship.
Every time you've seen them go,
mm-hmm.
Crazy.
Uh-huh. And Tim Donst versus Matthew Justice.
Wow.
No DQ for the AIW Intense Championship.
Wow. Hell on Earth, always the biggest thing to do. You see, a lot of people, did I say this earlier? A lot of people after, I don't think I said this, a lot of people after Halloween, you know, they kind of just go, okay, I'll go eat Thanksgiving, but I'm already thinking about Christmas shopping and doing that and the other. You know, they think about Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, start over, right?
Yeah.
But they're forgetting Black Friday. Sure, a lot of people go shop, but Hell on Earth, a staple, not only in Cleveland, not only in the U.S., not only wrestling. Hell on Earth, the place to be next Friday. Be there. I'm going to be there. Match or not. You know, if we can come up to a good price range, maybe I'll be wrestling. Who knows? The price is right, brother.
I'll be there.
Hell yeah. La Parca, L.A. Park, the original, he'll be there. Dancing. The chairman of WCW, man.
It's going to be awesome.
It's going to be an amazing show. So besides that, Maserati Wes on Instagram, Wes Barkley on Twitter, Facebook, Wes Barkley. I really don't check that stuff. Just people from high school or, you know, they're yipper yapping, you know, whatever. But yeah, you want to reach out to social media? Let me know. Compare me to that food item, right?
Yep.
Best one gets retweeted.
Okay. And of course, you can find myself at Heavyset330 on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Just like you can find this show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, Facebook.com/WrestlingCheers, Twitter.com/WrestlingCheers, and Instagram.com/WrestlingCheers. Email, if you so choose, desire, WrestlingCheers@gmail.com. We got the merch store over at WhatAManeuver.net. Please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to wherever you're listening to this fine podcast, whether it be Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and Podbean, WrestlingCheers.podbean.com, and check out all of our friends on the Trending Topics Network, such as All Beer Inside, the Eurovision Showcase, and Chill, and Old School at the Movies. And check out our other podcasting friends, such as Pod Van Dam, Center Stage, Super Fantastic Podcast, Road Home from Wrestling, Kick Out of Two, The IndieCast, SoBro Network, Big Gold Belt Podcast, and then check out all of our other non-podcast friends, such as Thrift Store Jobber, Rebel Life Media, The Savage Dash, Set Tab Photo, Ringside Sots Photography, Sickening Pictures, NEO Sports Insiders, and the official graphic designer of Wrestling Cheers, Moy Boy Designs. That will do it for us here on Wrestling Cheers, where everybody knows your name. Even if we've been hitting you up on DMs and you still get our name wrong. Thanks a lot, Swensons.
Later. We'll talk.
taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot.
Would you like to get away?
Sometimes you wanna go away.